Hogstein.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hogstein. We had some technical difficulties to start our show. We really need to get off Skype, guys. I'm just going to put that out there for the general public. If you have a Zoom account that you want to give us for free, we will take it.
It's almost becoming our first Hogstein late night episode in a while.
Yeah. We are recording about an hour late. First, Steve had a party at his house. Then
No. I don't have parties at my house. There were family was there for a birthday.
Right.
That is not a party.
The closest thing that Steve will ever admit is a party.
If there was a party at my house, I wouldn't be at my house. Tell you
that's
that.
True. Steve would be like, you guys have fun. I'm going to go into the garage or
yes,
something.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen Steve's garage before because he's recorded from there.
I have recorded from my garage. I've recorded from the garage. I've recorded from the porch. Right. We've done a lot of the Hogstein late night episodes there's a lot now.
Let me ask you, have you passed this antisocial trait or gene down to the kids at all? Has it filtered down at all, or are they
is that good? You're just insulting my personality now, Dave. I feel hurt. Oh, that's good. Thank God they're not like you.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately for you, and with me and my generation being Generation X, I'm not too concerned about the feelings here.
So I had to go to, you talk about introvert. So an office coworker this week, 2 months ago, invited me to her niece's quinceanera.
Yeah, you were telling us about that.
So, yeah, and it was like the only attorney she invited. And so I didn't want to insult the person by not doing it. So I went to this thing. And I'd never been to a quinceanera. For those of you who don't know or not in the South like this, it's a Hispanic culture, 15-year-old young girl, and they are sort of presenting her to as a young woman, basically, is what it is.
Yes.
Never
been to one before. It's the equivalent of a bar mitzvah, but in the Spanish culture, basically.
Yeah, so basically, yeah. Or a bar, that would be a bat mitzvah for a girl, but yeah. But anyway, so I went to this thing, and I planned to be there 2 hours late, you know, because I knew. And I made it 2 hours, and I was so exhausted from having to sit through this loud event. Right. I couldn't take anymore. I was like, you know what? I sat through the formal part. I'm out. I always listen to music loud in the car, turned it completely off, got home, went right to bed, which I never, ever, ever do. And I'm a horrible late night owl, went right to bed. I was in bed by like 10 because it so exhausted me to have to sit through that kind of social event.
But 2 hours for you is actually pretty good.
I made it 2 hours because I told the person I would make it through the formal presentation of the girl.
Right.
But my point is, this is the life of an introvert, people. It's that that kind of thing exhausts you when you're as serious of an introvert as me, as I am.
Right. Right.
So y'all think I'm making this up. That's what happened. And I knew it was going to happen.
Well, right. Because I know people like that, even in my family alone, even to a certain degree, my wife is a little bit, but it's more or less like, you know, it's kind of a drag to get there. She doesn't want to get there. She first gets there in the crowd. It's like, you know, she's a little uncomfortable, but then she just kind of just opens up and then she gets into it and fine, and she's fine. But unlike where you're far more introvert than what she is on that one.
The clinical testing I've off the charts introverted. And so it just means like I can talk it, but it means like, yeah, I get worn out. It's like, it's where you draw your energy from. So I draw my energy from being alone. And so an event like that, where there's a ton of stimulus, the music was loud, there's all these people and there was like bright colors and all this stuff. And I just went like, you know, it just makes you snap when you're like me. So there you go.
I think everyone's unique. Everyone's a special flower. You know.
I'm not a flower. You may be a flower, Alex. I am not a flower.
I'm a flower child in a way. I mean, my parents are pretty hippies. So
that is true. That is true.
Yes. That is definitely true.
You've reminded me many years that it's Earth Day, if I recall. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
The hell is Earth Day?
Yeah. Yeah. Steve doesn't recognize the Earth. So.
It's stupid. It's the worst, dumbest holiday ever. It's just a side of Kwanzaa, which is also
that's Guy Fawkes Day. That's the dumbest holiday ever.
What is Guy Fawkes Day?
It's the day the British are celebrating the fact that the Catholics failed to blow up their parliament.
I've never heard of this. You finally taught me something after all these years.
You don't know about Guy Fawkes?
I've never heard of Guy Fawkes.
Big important thing that happened in England. Very important.
I can't believe there's a piece of knowledge you have that I don't have.
Yeah. I can, but I'm more shocked it's just not Star Trek or Lord of the Rings based.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh man.
Okay, we should talk about the team a little.
Oh yeah, football.
Some football stuff, not Star Trek.
Not the clinical definition of introversion. That's exciting.
No, not that.
We could do Star Trek versus Star Wars. I'd be okay with that.
Well, maybe we save that for a slow day.
We'll save that for June when we're in the dead zone of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say we've actually had that conversation. It's not like in years past, though, honestly.
We've definitely had it off air.
Yeah, maybe so.
Especially back in the day when Robbie was on the show, because remember, he and I got into some pretty nerdy debates.
Yes.
I'm just that rare dog that just likes them both. Or you have it's either your Star Wars or your Star Trek.
I like them both.
I love them both.
I think you find a lot of people who like Star Trek, they do like Star Wars. They'll say they like Star Trek more. That's all. You know, it's that.
We used to do a lot of crazy stuff in the early days. So
we did. Well, we would just go off on weird tangents for 3 hours and then think people wanted to listen.
Which they didn't.
No. all right, so let's focus in here. Rookie camp is coming up on Friday, so they're gonna open it up to the media, let you know some video clips start getting out of Jane Daniels throwing, of some guys not tackling because you can't tackle right in camp. There's no tackling, no one get hurt. But we'll get clips of you know McCaffrey and the new tight end, and you know probably some good defensive coverage stuff. But it'll be exciting. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is going to be the big focus for everybody, right? Like, and he's already kind of making the rounds. Dave, you were talking, he was on Keyshawn Johnson's show earlier. They are definitely, I don't think they're trying to push him out there, but he's the number two pick at quarterback. He's going to get on a lot of these shows. He's going to, you know, quickly become the face of the franchise, right? So
absolutely,
none of this is surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the reason why you drafted. Look, I don't think you're going to see too much of actual value in this rookie camp. I mean, it's going to be a tryout for some unsigned, you know, undrafted free agents. So be some there.
All those guys we were up late, you know, retweeting. Hey, they got this guy. Hey, they got that guy.
Well, yeah, right. But there'll be also some that aren't signed. They get camp invites and stuff. They'll do those. But are we really going to see anything that's like, you know, decisive, you know, or really insightful? Probably don't get your hopes up. Could probably not.
No,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's going to be the onset of the Ashburn syndrome that, you know, that kicks in the minute that, Jaden Daniels completes a bomb to McLaurin down the sideline. You know, everyone's going to be reserving their time for a Super Bowl, man.
He won't be doing that in this camp.
Well, you know what I mean. There. Just in terms of him completing that pass to whomever down the sideline. Well, McCaffrey.
Somebody.
When it's a nice 5 yard out to Ben Sinnott, we'll all get excited then.
That's Kittle 2.0 Super Bowl, baby.
Right, right, exactly. you win 5 yards at a time, man.
That's true.
Yep. Yeah, but. I don't think we're going to see anything, you know, mind blowing, you know, no. It's going to be just those clips, right? It's going to be, here's a deep ball. Here's maybe a good pass breakup by Hampton or, the corner they drafted, you know, Center Silly, or whatever his name is.
I did get a good report on him. So at the Quinceañera,
yeah,
there was a former college safety.
Oh yeah,
yeah. From a D1 AA school, And I said, okay, what do you think about Mike Sanders still? And he said, I like him. You know, he's more of a downhill player. He's not a coverage safety, which we knew, but they validated by somebody who knows far more than we do about it. So, I mean, I got a good report from him for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, he's a downhill nickel guy. Safety. That's what he's going to be. We all, right. I think we see that.
Of course, unfortunately, what Washington actually needs is a coverage safety. But
that's true. Yeah. Well, but he's playing corner, not safety.
Sorry, but yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah, they did draft a safety, too, the kid from Washington, Hampton. So they have a guy there. But, I don't think we'll get too much out of it. It's just going to be nice to see these guys. Of course, as I was saying about Jaden Daniels, he did do that Keyshawn Johnson show. Said some really interesting things about how he's already working with Cliff Kingsbury, how Kingsbury's being receptive to what Daniels want to do. Like he came and said, what do you think you can do to succeed? And, working with a guy, not just trying to push him into a role at quarterback, which, that's nice to see, somebody working with their quarterback instead of working against them.
Talk is cheap, man.
Well, yeah.
It's just babble. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's true. But at least the one difference here, because you talked about it last week, is that you have a new coaching staff, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, everyone in sync from day one. So it's just nice. It's just nice to see something we haven't seen in forever. That part is what's nice.
It has been. No, my point is, yes, that part is great. But, I mean, nobody should believe whatever babble the quarterback is spewing out on a radio show. I mean, you talk is cheap. They need to show us at this point.
Now the one answer I don't know if it was from the Keyshawn show or from an interview you had from somebody else, but the one answer I did like when he was asked about, do you think you're going to be the QB1 come week one? And he's like, all I could do is basically a paraphrase. The only thing I could do is go out there, perform, do what I can do. In terms of QB1, that's above my pay grade. That's someone else to decide. I'm out there just to do what I got to do and be ready for when the time comes for me to play.
What else is it going to say, though?
That's the thing. When you looked at RG3, he was all about QB1 day one. And he had that mentality. Now, granted, he was obviously. I mean, he was the best quarterback on the roster. Same thing with Jaden Daniels. But RG3 carried a little more of I don't want to say arrogance, but a little more of air confidence in terms of, well, this is where I'm at. This is where I think I should be.
Remember, Jaden
Daniels kind of handled himself a little bit differently. That's all.
Kirk Cousins was another rookie. I mean, they've got Marcus Mariota on this roster. Jaden Daniels not going to come in and go, yeah, I'm going to start over that Mariota guy.
Right.
Even if he believes that, he's not going to say it.
Well, so Kirk was the number three guy that year, wasn't Rex Grossman our backup at that point? He might have been.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think I can't remember. I think we had Sexy Rexy still at that point. I'm not going to bother to go look because that's just going to be time consuming.
Go ahead.
Steve is.
Keep talking.
Well, all right. So, Dave, the other thing you mentioned on, pre-show that Jaden Daniels was talking a lot about was the VR thing.
Right.
And how he was getting made fun of by Keyshawn Johnson, I think, for being into using VR for training.
Yeah, the one thing Keyshawn had mentioned was like, because when he started talking about Keyshawn, I was like, well, that's not going to prepare you for that live action defensive end coming off the edge. It's not going to prepare you for that hit that defensive end is going to give you coming off the edge.
Right.
And Jaden Daniels just kind of laughed it off and said, well, no, yeah, you're right. He said, but the benefits that they have with the VR glasses is that it gives a real world environment, simulated, of course, but they adjusted to, it's a much faster pace. It's a quicker pace on everything that's happening, So his reaction time has to be much quicker than what it would be on the field. And that's one of the purposes of what the VR does. One of the many purposes of the VR glasses. Whoa. And he's used them, I want to say, for the last 3 years. He used them for 2 years at LSU, I think it was. And each year he has progressively improved in terms of reading the field and going through progressions and everything. He's gotten real comfortable using them. Mm-hmm. He's gotten comfortable with the progressions with using them. And, you know, coaches, not just LSU, but even scouts and so forth, will talk about how they see an improvement in him. Obviously, the game day environment, the real live action is what's really going to get him to that next level.
I mean, is Keyshawn, does Keyshawn not understand that there's no live games or practice right now?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's better than nothing, even if it doesn't do anything. It's, if it helps him mentally, great. What a dumb comment. You know, well, of course it's not the live game day, but he's doing some stuff to prepare now what he can. And it's better than not doing. He could be sitting on a couch, you know, rolling in $100 bills if he wanted to. No, but instead he's trying to do something to help. I mean, I don't get why Keyshawn would criticize him.
Well, you're talking about a receiver who has a book that says, throw me the damn ball.
Didn't he get thrown off the Jets?
I mean, he was kind of a, you know, one of those diva receivers back in the day, that's for
he
sure.
He was like the archetype of the diva receiver.
Oh, I don't know about the there was definitely a glory era of diva receivers that he was right in the heart in.
I want to say Keyshawn Johnson is the one that they sent him, kicked him off the Jets and sent him home.
So here's the thing it reminds me of, though, right away. And it ties into someone who Jaden Daniels has always said he loved, and that's Donovan McNabb. McNabb, when he was maybe first or second year play with the Eagles, used to wear a special pair of glasses that would actually block his field of vision on purpose. And it would, like, black out, open up while he was trying to throw the ball to help him learn how to anticipate where the receiver's going to go. You know, any little thing you can do, use VR. Any little bit of technology like that can help you with just the visual aspect of playing quarterback, I think is huge, honestly.
Well, because, I agree. I mean, and again, anything that, you know, when there's nothing else going on,
right,
he's trying to do something to improve.
Right.
I mean, I don't get the problem. That's just stupid.
I don't think there's a problem at all.
Well, see, the one aspect of VR that you can add to it is, you know, when you're – because – you can have the VR also projected on a monitor in front of you. So you're seeing what he's seeing in the goggles. So when you're seeing that, you can actually see how close the linemen are coming. You can have like these little foam bats kind of brush up against, so he can kind of almost like he's feeling the pressure, or the lineman gets too close, you can actually hit him with it.
I don't think he's doing that, though. He's just sitting and watching this thing, you know.
Well, no, yeah, you're right. Probably most likely, but it's just there are things you could do with the VR where when you're so focused in the VR itself, you have no idea what's actually physically going on around you. And then you can actually, as a coaching staff, kind of simulate, the pocket kind of closing in a little bit more, you know, brush against them or whatever.
But they can't really meet with the coaches, though. There's rules.
His own coach, they could do it.
John Beck.
Okay.
No, I mean, he can't meet with Washington, like have sessions with Washington's coaching staff. That's against the CBA.
No, right. You're not allowed to do that. I would be fascinated, and this is the nerdy techie in me, how this thing gets programmed. Like, with at some point, do you get your playbook and say, all right, I need a nerd to sit here and program like these 10 plays into the VR.
I kind of wondered that myself. I mean, who's designing all this stuff? It's not just
or
like
is he just playing Madden VR?
I don't know.
Which, hey, you know what? That might be more helpful than you would think.
Not doing anything, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine it being difficult to transfer to VR because most everything is on electronic devices anymore, the iPads and everything that they have. So in terms of being able to program and bring it over to the one side, I couldn't imagine that being. I mean, I'm not saying it's not easy, but I'm not saying it's already kind of in a code already. But to take it from there and move it to the VR, I couldn't imagine it being overly complicated.
I think it would be incredibly difficult, personally. But
well, the baseline code is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's already written, I assume, at this point. And then you just need somebody who says, all right, I need wide receiver one to run a fly route. Wide receiver two is running a crossing route. Like somebody that should all be programmed in, I imagine, somehow.
I would like to buy this thing, personally.
I would kind of be curious to check it out myself.
Yeah.
Because I look at it like because we have VR goggles at work that we can use for our aircraft. So when we put them on, you know, we can actually see all the wire harnesses and all the parts and everything are right there. So sure. The actual baseline code that you mentioned is already there in those goggles. So now when we need to, if we want to remove something or we want to move something or whatever, that aspect of it is something that I'm thinking that would be much easier to do, like inputting 10 plays. Why have this receiver do that? And, you know, because the baseline coding should already be in those VR goggles. If they're ordering them for the quarterbacks to do, I mean, it shouldn't be coming just fresh with nothing. They should be doing that already, I would think, right?
I have VR goggles at the office for when I'm arguing with opposing counsel.
I mean, I thought you'd have VR goggles for when everyone else is like going out to eat and you just are like, I'm going to pretend to not be here. And you put them
That's
on.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
And the VR goggles just make everyone in the room disappear so you feel comfortable.
That's not a bad idea. I might have to try that. It'll just be a VR VR thing of my living room.
Yeah. Yeah. You put that on so you're comfortable in the social setting. It also noise canceling headphones, right? Because that way you don't hear the music.
Of course. Yeah.
Sure.
I like it. That's a decent idea, man.
Hey, I have them late at night.
It's Hogstyle late night, people.
Yeah. Super late and super early is when all my good ideas come. So the other thing with Daniels that everyone's talking about online is the dumb story about his jersey number. Everyone's freaking out because of the jersey numbers haven't been released yet. Fans want to buy team merch. Ironically, we'll get to another story about that later. And obviously the core issue is Jaden Daniels wore number 5 his whole life. Like I said, he was a McNabb fan growing up. That's who he kind of emulates his game on largely. And number 5 is worn by the longest tenured player on the team, Tress Way. You know, the greatest punter in the history of the league. So
Ray Guy would take exception to that.
Ray Guy can, you know, carry Tress Way's cleats. That's what I'm going to say. No, I'm joking, of course. But this is still a story because with the new rules allowing basically anyone to wear numbers 0 through 19, shockingly, every number is already taken that a quarterback's supposed to be able to wear, technically.
Am I the only one who utterly doesn't care what anybody's number is?
I generally don't care, but I do know that there are rules in place for a reason, you know. Like, the numbering thing is so you know, like, linemen won't touch the ball when, you know.
Well, that was the intent of the numbering system. They have dramatically loosened it now, though.
Yeah, they have. And I think it's actually too loose because you have, like, number 6 is being worn by a defensive end, Dante Fowler, now.
Right.
Like, that's a little too far in my book.
I just utterly don't care what number Jaden Daniels wears or doesn't wear. It just utterly doesn't interest me at all.
The only aspect of the numbers and jerseys I care about is that no one ever forgets the fact that number 28 was the greatest Redskin of all time, period. That's all I care about.
I do
care
about
the ghost of Sonny Jurgens or of Sammy Baugh is gonna come to haunt you.
Well, I didn't watch Sammy Baugh, so I can't speak to that. I can only speak to what I watched.
That aspect of numbers I care about, you know, like those guys who are really the, you know, Hall of Fame all time greats. The when their numbers get retired, I think that's a special thing. So, like, I do care about that, I guess.
Sure.
You know, like, they're retiring 28 this year. They retired Sonny's last year. I think they're probably going to have to stop doing that because you're going to run out of numbers if you keep going.
Well, there's teams that have way more numbers in Washington that's retired.
Oh, I know there are. But I'm just saying, theoretically, at some point.
Look at the Yankees. The Yankees have a whole team that's, you know, basically retired already.
Yeah. All the good numbers are taken in New York.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, it is just going to be an interesting little thing.
Well, like, who else? If you think about it, like, who else? So nobody would wear 21 in Washington.
Right.
No, it's retired now officially.
Yeah. I mean, but nobody would, 44, nobody would wear 44.
Right. Seven,
28.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't think anyone were 7 until 81 was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think they should have let Haskins wear 7.
No.
But the worst that, but the ones they really couldn't wear, 44, 28, 21.
84.
See, I think you get it with 84.
Less so 84.
But you know, I think you're also, you got to remember Bobby Mitchell and some of those guys too, whose numbers are retired now. Right. Basically everything in the low 40s is technically off limits at this point for Washington because of, you know, those old timers who were absolute legends.
Damn those old people.
Damn them. Yeah.
Besides, you know, what are we even talking about here anyway? We're talking to, not, you know, retired numbers of Redskins anyway. This is
a new team. You're right.
This isn't even a Redskins. Retired,
is what you're saying.
Yeah.
What does it matter? That's a good point.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, why can only one person wear a number at a time? Let's just go. Let's go nuts. You know, everyone can wear 7 all the time.
I believe in college you can have a defense and an offense wearing the same numbers, I think. Can't you?
As long as
they're on the opposite, as long as one's on offense, one's defense.
In college? I believe that might be right.
They do that obviously during preseason here in the NFL too.
Because there's just not enough numbers.
Right. Exactly. But you know, look, I think for all the consternation the fans have, odds are Tressway is just going to give him the number, you know, at some point, probably on Thursday or Friday, whenever the rookies show up, Tressway will be there and say, here you go. Here's your number.
Well, actually, knowing Tressway, he's probably going to want to have some sort of a, funny, like a video montage type of thing made up to where, and eventually that number gets switched over where they're struggling a point or whatever, however it is. I think Tressway would probably be a little creative with that anyway.
Ping pong game. I think
there you go.
I think we've already spent too much time on it.
Yeah. Or actually, you know what? They could put them in a foot race and make it look like Tressway's leading all the way down like the last like final few meters. All of a sudden, then Jaden Daniels just blows right by him. Bam. You know, I mean, hey.
That would actually be a funny video as a way to do it.
I think you're giving their creativity too much credit.
Just having fun, Steve. That's
yeah. But, you know, on the roster, the only number that's not taken is 15. That's the only jersey number available.
That's not a very football-y number.
15?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, isn't that Patrick Mahomes' number?
Is it? I mean, there's not a ton of 15s, I want to say.
No, there aren't. I don't think it's a common one. But
I want to see, personally, I want to see him wear 12 anyway.
12?
Yes.
Oh, right. You were talking about
Ronald Cunningham.
Ronald Cunningham, yeah. Yes. I mean, that's a good guy to emulate, too, for Jaden Daniels, you know. So that's not a bad option.
I just think it's a totally irrelevant detail that doesn't mean anything. That's what I think.
Well, what do you want fans to argue about on Twitter then?
I don't know. I mean, don't argue on Twitter. How about that?
Okay, that's going to happen.
This is why I quit Twitter.
Don't argue on Twitter. What do you want them to go home and spend time with their families?
Yes. I mean, yes. Correct. Yes, I do.
Weirdos. That is so archaic of you.
You guys don't know. I am so much better off not being on Twitter.
I'm sure you are. I guarantee you that's true. Because I am not better off being on Twitter.
I know.
I just enjoy the humor and everyone's stupidity. That's all.
Yes. Yeah. The number of times I want to just write something horrible towards people for being stupid, and then I just like delete. All right. I feel better just writing it and not hitting send. Also, I don't need to get us blocked by every, you know, sports journalist.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah, I know.
If you're in the public eye and you're getting sensitive about that, you need help.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a public figure and you're getting wrapped up around the axle about what some random people say, you need help. Your ego needs to be checked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's That is true.
For that matter, if you're a well-known figure and you're reading any comments, you need help. What are you doing reading comments? Anyway, if you're a well-known figure with tons and tons of followers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't read any of them.
Well, all I know is it took me a good year to, when I first started Twitter, where it's like people, you know, hit me and say, well, why are you responding like that? I was like, well, I was a little ignorant. I'm reading my posts. I'm like, I don't see anything ignorant about what I said. I guess I just don't really care about your emotions, I guess. I don't know what it is. I give you an honest answer. If you don't like it, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem right there.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to do here.
I mean, I got in a huge fight, and we're going to talk about it a little later, about the whole Austin Rivers quote.
Right.
When I read it was, basketball is not the hardest sport to play between all the major sports. And if you don't know what the Austin Rivers quote is, again, we'll get into this probably later. But
why don't you save it then for later?
Okay, we'll save it for later. But somebody really wanted to go just fight me on Twitter about it. So, yeah, it's amazing how people just want to fight. All right, let's talk about the position group breakdown. We got to talk about offensive tackles. We save the worst for first, I guess.
Well, yeah. Let's knock it out.
Yeah. I didn't drink at all today. Should I have started drinking to do offensive tackles?
You might have to.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a rough group.
We got a great group here. What are you talking about? I mean,
Dave has been drinking.
Yes. All right. So let's get into it. This group. Dave, you wrote the breakdown, so yes. I don't know if you – do we just want to run through the names and then talk about it, or how do we want to do it?
Sure. I mean,
run through the names and, yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. So projected left tackle, Cornelius Lucas. Projected starting right tackle, Andrew Wiley, the turnstile. Mm-hmm. And then you have your dev, rookie Brandon Coleman, although more so a guard. It looks like you're going to try him at tackle. Braden Daniels, a second-year guy. Alex Akingbulu.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you say it.
Well, let's go with that.
So, yep. That works. So this is his second year with the team. And then David however you say your last name. I completely apologize for that. And I, you know, I have question marks on his age because you know what?
Maybe?
Yeah, is something like that.
Yeah.
But the crazy part is, I could not find a site that gave me his age. Not one. Not his birthday. Not nothing. I went all over the place. Now, you, Steve, you'll probably find it in 2 seconds.
No, I couldn't find it. No, I hunted for it. Couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, I'm just like...
I keep track. I have every birthday on the team in this chart. He's the only one I don't have.
That's weird.
So.
That's super weird. Yes. Yeah, there's a couple other guys who are all going to be swing guys, right? Scott Coleman probably is a swing guy, honestly.
I'm sorry, Trenton Scott was another guy on this too. I skipped right over him. He's had a 6-year career. He's traveled through several teams.
Yeah, and so. I was looking at the team site too. What I found interesting is on the team's own website they have Brandon Coleman listed as a guard right now, not even a tackle.
I only put him on here because all the talk was is he's going to get his first shot at tackle. So I think I throw him on here. So, I mean, but realistically,
what I said last
really
week.
A guard.
Yeah, I mean, if they're trying to will it into existence, you know.
Yep.
I mean, he might be a competent right tackle. He'd probably be much better than Andrew Wiley, to be honest with you, at right tackle. Of course, that's not a difficult achievement either.
No. No, there's a number of guys who could be a competent right tackle. I was looking at the wrong roster. It's like, why is Charles Leno still listed here? Oh, this is NFL.com.
Okay, so
they haven't updated it.
David Wagwugu
birthday
is October 15th, but I don't know what year.
1970. Well, it's like baseball, right? Like, you get these guys who fake their ages, and they're actually a decade older.
Yeah. Yeah, he very well could be.
That is usually Little League All-Stars.
Yes. Yeah, but, you know, there's the occasional, like, guy who comes out of, like, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and they're like, he's 16, and he's, like, got gray hair. You know?
A full goatee going.
Yep. Three kids in the stands rooting for him who looks specific, just like him.
He's got prostate problems.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
so
not
look,
a good group. Let's
yeah,
just,
here's
let's
the
start
thing.
With that. This is
it's
this
a train
is a
wreck. Okay,
big red flag.
I think that this is the major thing I have disagreed with Adam Peters' approach to this team on is the tackle. He seems to not take this very seriously. And yes, and just spare me, by the way, you know, the he tried to trade up thing. You don't know out there what he tried to trade, how serious the offers were. Was he in the ballpark of reality? We don't know any of that.
Also, he failed to trade up. So what's it matter?
That's what, yeah, exactly. That's my right. point. So, yeah, I think it's really bad roster management to bring a new young mobile quarterback who has a tendency not to slide, by the way,
mm-hmm.
right?
Who does not have a left tackle. And not only do you not have left tackle, you've got Andrew Turnstile Wiley as the right tackle. And I got newsflash, your guards aren't that great either, but that's another show for another day, you know, another day. That's for next week. So I think this is the major failing of the Peters administration so far.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people talk about how Washington hit the draft out of the park. They were worried about building. You know, they did a great job of putting a foundation together. And, you know, there's a lot of that I do kind of agree with, you know, in terms of where they selected certain guys, like Newton when he came in the first half of the second round. I get all that. You know, the value is there. I understand all that. But I'd understand that more if you had someone like, you know, a veteran Kirk Cousins or somebody in that, you know, somebody at your quarterback that can navigate the offensive line much better in terms of his pre-snap reads and calls and making his adjustments and everything. And they're acclimating with the NFL. Jaden Daniels is not that guy right now. Now you're going to put this rookie. I just fear it's almost like a potential Sam Howell all over again. You know, it's like if you get him, you have to do everything in your power to get that left tackle at minimum. And he just didn't do that. And Brandon Coleman's not that answer. You know, that's my biggest problem with how everyone rates Washington's draft. I love most of the guys they drafted. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But you draft the number two overall rookie quarterback who, like you said, doesn't know how to slide very well. Doesn't really slide at all. You know, it's like, protect the guy. You know, put him in position where he can succeed day one if he's a starter week one. And I don't think he did that. And that kind of worries me right there.
What's worried me more is that after this draft, they still haven't made any moves. You know, look, I don't think any of the guys left on the free agent market are star left tackles. But just for, like, the sake of, like, insurance, if you will. You know,
well, I mean, well, you could have gotten like Kyle Bitcoin
or Donovan Smith or the guy from Green Bay, David. Yeah. You're not going to keep him for more than a year or two as a starter, but it's a better option than what you got. Honestly.
I mean, baseline competence, at least.
Yeah.
Something like back Tiari, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even potentially bring Charles Leno back. You know, depending upon how he recovers from his off-season procedure.
Sounds like he's retired, to be honest.
Think so?
Sounds like it. I mean, he hadn't said okay. that. But.
I heard him in an interview, and what he was saying more or less was he knew he was probably going to get cut because the surgery was going to keep him out for most of the year.
Okay.
So I think he would want to come back after that, but I don't think he's an option.
I just think this team is going to be in a world of hurt if Brandon Coleman does not somehow mm-hmm. take the left tackle position. And the odds are against him because you guys already said it. I mean, most people look at him as a guard or as a swing tackle.
Right.
Maybe he'll surprise you. Who knows? But I think it's unlikely. You know, but they keep talking about him as a tackle. I mean, again, it's literally willing it into existence.
I mean, look, right. If they're right and they got to tackle in the third
God
round.
God bless them. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. But, you know, I like I said, I would at least get one more guy in here who you trust to be a starter.
Right.
You know, another option. Just in case the plan A doesn't work.
And just to add, for all those who want to take that RAS score that you see out there and you put it next to Trent Williams, and Trent Williams and him are like identical numbers, you know, that's his like overall athletic score. You know, that's fine. That's great. Maybe Brandon Coleman athletically is right there on par with Trent Williams. That's fine. But what Trent Williams does in terms of technique, footwork, just outright power, especially his, just the way he distributes his power through his, you know, with his hips and his hip movements and through his legs and his core and everything. Mm-hmm. Brandon Coleman doesn't have any of that. He may have some of that, but he doesn't even, just look at his productivity score on NFL.com. His athletic score is like in the 90s, but his productivity score is in the low 80s. And there's a reason for that, because there's a lot of deficiencies in his footwork and his technique and his hands and his balance and everything. He has issues there that Trent Williams never had. That's what separates them. And that's what's important. I don't care about the athletic score. It's the actual production, you know, and Trent Williams had it over him.
And let's be honest. That's why he's projected as a guard, because guards are usually your athletes. That's where you put your guy who can pull and get out into the second level better, whose technique might not always be great, but they have that.
I mean, it's just so not fair that anybody compares the guy to Trent Williams,
no,
who's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
Right.
It's just not a fair comparison, you know,
absolutely,
for anybody.
I think they was like the second day after the draft, someone put that up there. I'm like, come on, are we really going to start this now? Come on.
Yeah.
So
anybody who pays attention to that for guards or tackles doesn't know what they're talking about anyway.
Right.
I don't think.
I mean, he might be very athletic. Great.
Right.
Doesn't
it's a play. If he is, that's a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like the mobile QB thing, you know, like the ability to run is the bonus, but you got to be able to do the basic stuff first.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything we can say about, I'll say this. I always liked Cornelius Lucas when he came in. I trusted him as a backup. I just don't know how I feel about him possibly being a starter either right now.
Well, name a choice.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
Yeah. If you had told me he was going to be your right tackle, I'd feel a lot better than about that. But
I think they probably might move him to right tackle if they come up with somehow magically a starting left tackle.
Maybe.
I mean, Andrew Wiley was horrible. Okay. Yeah. I mean, terrible. And who knows if any of these other guys can play? Akin Bulu.
Yeah.
In the guy in Wagugu, whatever his name is. I mean, maybe one of them can play. Who knows? I'm going to take a stab at it and say it's unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, again, sometimes you stumble into a guy who can play some right tackle, but you don't stumble into a left tackle very often.
Very rarely, at least.
Right.
Yeah. It's. I'll be honest, it's such a concern of mine. I've said it before on the show. I kind of want to see Mariota start that first game just to see how bad the O-line is before.
I mean, does everybody realize that they're probably going to start with Cornelius Lucas and Andrew Wiley as their tackles?
Yeah.
Are you not worried about this out there? You know, if you're a Washington fan, this needs to be a principal concern to you.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'd rather put Jaden Daniels on the bench for a week or two. Just to make sure
that Mariota be the one to get killed.
Yes, let somebody else take the bullets.
That's why when they had the opportunity to take either Kingsley or Patrick Paul, they for as much as I like Ben Sennett, the tight end,
yeah,
the choice should have been one of those two guys right there. It really should have been, in my opinion, you know, because I was right where they were graded in the draft. I mean, they're both projected to be. I mean, they eventual left tackle starters, but definitely right tackle starters. So you would have had one of those two guys would have been a starting tackle for you.
And just you depth, know, quality yeah, depth at work.
Right. But
they should have moved heaven and earth to trade up.
Sure.
Sure. I think we all agree there.
Yeah.
I think the only problem they ran into with that is that because with those first 13 picks being all offensive players and pretty much all of your bona fide left tackles were all taken in that spot, there was no way of getting from 36 all the way up into the top 12, top 14 to get one of those guys. And anyone after that, from what I understood, some teams looked at some of these other guys as pure right tackles. None of them left tackles. And it wasn't worth moving up. It's
they
like
need
how
a right
Alex,
tackle
you mentioned,
too.
Well, that's true. But so now you're talking about the valuation. Was it worth it? I don't know. I have no idea what their thinking is on that.
You have a desperate need.
I know.
I mean, I agree they had a desperate need. That's, to me, you fill your needs like that in free agency, though. Even if you can't find a superstar.
This may be unbelievably the weakest tackle room they've had in years.
I think so. Now, also, a lot of this does fall on the previous regime for not building a line.
Right.
I think it's fair to say you weren't going to fix that problem in 1 year, but they needed to be a little more active than they were. I think they did a good job getting interior guys in free agency, but we'll talk about that next week. Or is that next week or the week
after? It's next week.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that really covers.
Yeah, it's just really disappointing.
Yeah.
Really. Oh my God. I think it's going to be a nightmare. I mean, this is the worst position group on the team.
It really is. Can we just play a lot of two tight end and chip every play?
Well, name two tight ends they have that can do that.
Senate and what's the tight end they drafted 2 years ago? He's not much. He's not
Cole
a great
Turner?
Receiver.
No, not Cole Turner. Bates.
Bates, yeah. I mean, they're both good blocking tight ends. But the only problem is that if you're forced to have to do that, now you take the receiving aspect of Senate out of the game plan because you can't afford to move them out. They do actually have two good blocking tight ends. But it's just now you lose a receiver in Senate, because you didn't address the tackle position.
Yeah.
I think Robbie Duncan is still available. They had a column.
Yeah. I think Robbie's lost too much weight at this point.
Oh, you can fatten him up. We'll all contribute some cheeseburgers for him.
He's the Jaden Daniels of O-linemen at this point.
He would be, yeah, he would be.
All right, let's move on to some other topics we want to cover before the end of the show.
Let's.
Because I just don't want to end just depressed talking about offensive
line. We have a few minutes to fill anyway. We're not even
We
done.
Do. We do have a few minutes.
You mean that group didn't inspire you?
It did not.
No.
It did not.
Oh, Dave. Bad Dave. Bad.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Since I already kind of touched on that ridiculous story from the Pat Metcalf show where Austin Rivers said Pat McAfee. What did I say?
Pat McAfee. You said the first time you said Pat, and then the second time you meant Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
And so now we're at Pat McAfee show. We're there.
Pat
now.
McAfee.
Now the people know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So on Pat McAfee, NBA player Austin Rivers said you could take 30 NBA players right now and throw them into the NFL, and there's not 30 NFL players who could play in the NBA.
What
this
a
has
bunch
led
of
to
crap.
Quite a hullabaloo about what is like, which is the harder sport to play. And I think the answer is very simple. I think it's much harder to be a successful NFL player than NBA player.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with that. It's a totally different skill set completely. Certainly what's far harder on the body is obviously football.
Right.
But having the skill and talent to shoot and, do what basketball players does takes a lot of talent. And I think a lot of people couldn't do it. The problem is, here's the real problem. Austin Rivers is just talking about skill positions. And I think you could roll some NBA players in and put them at wide receiver or get some like a power forward and throw them at tight end or something. But there are no offensive linemen in the NBA.
Right.
None. And there might, there probably is a quarterback or two, but probably not a ton. You know, who have the arm, like arm for that.
I mean, quarterback and point guard translate very well in a lot
quarterback,
of ways.
I don't know if quarterback does. You don't know who has an arm and can throw. I put a pitcher out there as a quarterback before
I
put
well, sure. Oh, yeah, definitely that. But I'm saying there have been a lot of guys who played point guard and quarterback at like that high school level who went.
He's not talking about the high school level.
I know, though. I know. But I'm just saying, I think the mindset, there's some overlap there, leading a team.
So, I think Austin Rivers is also underestimating the athleticism of some of these NFL guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever guys ever been around like an athlete like this? I have, and they're at a total another level.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think there obviously are some NFL players who could probably make it in some level. They might not be Michael Jordan, but there's going to be some NFL players that can make it and vice versa. That's just ignorant, you know, just a guy. I don't know. It's just a guy defending his sport, and that's fine. But I just think it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Well, yeah, I think you can look at safeties and corners. You can probably bring over to the NBA to some degree, some level. Your running backs, your wide receivers over there, you know, most of your quarterbacks and probably even most of your tight ends. You know, I mean, they can fill some role over there. I mean, obviously the actual skill set of it is going to be much different. But when you come from the NBA over, to me, really only boils down to two positions, wide receiver and tight end, and that's it. Because when you look at the nuance of the game and how they have to understand, I mean, even as a running back, you're not just simply back there just, okay, I'm going through the two hole or the four hole or, you know, okay, I'm going to go out here into the flat and catch the ball. You have to understand with the quarterback if there's a blitz happening and you, if you're in protection, who you have. And, you know, you have to understand the offensive line calls and what the quarterback calls are made so you know who your blocking assignment is. There's a lot of nuance in the game. You go back in the secondary. I mean, if you have no idea, if you can't recognize a route, if you can't recognize what the quarterback is doing throughout the game and make adjustments to that, you're going to get burnt. You're going to get destroyed every single week. To me, it boils down to wide receiver and tight end. That's only the only two positions in my mind that an NBA player could fill into when you go the other way.
Body type, you know, there's not a ton.
No. Yeah.
I think that is the big thing. If you're talking translate as in body type, the hardest thing is there aren't a ton of guys in the NFL who are 6'8", 6'10".
Offensive linemen, there's none who are 6'10". There's a couple offensive linemen who are 6'7", 6'8".
Right. Right, right.
But they're not built like power forwards.
You're playing.
They're 310 pounds. I mean.
Right, right. That's where I think the NBA has an advantage is height matters so much more. And, you know, guys in the NFL aren't necessarily tall.
I just think it's kind of a dumb thing that for Austin Rivers to say, but it's also a dumb thing to suggest in the first place.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, clearly some of them from both sides could bleed over because they're world class athletes.
Sure.
You know, they learn the game and all that. And, you know, your sport isn't better or tougher, Austin. It's just different.
Yeah. And let's be clear. Any of them could go and crush at soccer.
Soccer is not a sport. So, yes.
Soccer, it's the easiest pro athletic thing out there.
Can you imagine like some 6'7" tight end like thundering down as a, you know,
there are big guys like that in European soccer.
But there's a lot of guys who are 5'10" in European soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a wider range for sure.
But there's not a ton of them who are really big though. There's a handful.
There are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, just a handful. And they do it all metric system, so I can't keep track of any of their heights anyway.
No, but every time I see a picture of some soccer guy, he's always a little bitty wee lass, you know, wee lad, you know.
not intentional, totally intentional. yeah, so that was one of those.
And most of them wouldn't even, most of any of these athletes in football, basketball, or even soccer could even last a game in ice hockey.
Oh,
no.
I mean, just skating,
no.
Just skating alone. I mean, just getting just to be adjusted to skates alone. Man, they'll be flailing their bodies in the in the backboards all game long.
So I ranked, and I said the big five sports. I said ice hockey is probably the hardest to really be great at. Then I'd say baseball, just because the ability to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and the ability to hit one is very difficult.
Right. Because
those two aspects of baseball make it, to me, one of the hardest sports to play. Then I have football third, basketball below that, soccer below that. That's how I would rank them. Just me. You know.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I actually, soccer-wise, it's, I mean, the difficult aspect of that, it's just the endurance you need just to run back and forth, back and forth. That right there, most people can't do, period. But you probably have most NBA players that couldn't even do that.
Yeah, that's true about basketball, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Endurance
is the big thing. All right. Moving to another topic that is going on NFL-wise, the schedule release a week late. So, you know, we were wondering why that is. I have a theory, and my theory is it's all because of Christmas. The NFL desperately wants to play on Christmas now, which means they have to put games on Wednesday during Christmas, which really screws up the whole schedule, because that means if four teams are going to play Wednesday, they can't play the Sunday before. They have to play like Saturday or something, and it just cascade affects your whole schedule plan.
Maybe the NFL needs to leave it alone. I mean, Wednesday is not a football day.
No.
It's in the middle of the week, and that's really late in the season after the bye weeks are probably over.
Right. It's like the second to last week of the season, usually.
Yeah, I just let it go. It's not a good football day in the end. Let the NBA have a day.
If the games fall on Christmas falls on the weekend, sure.
Play it. You know. Yeah, right. But it's a Wednesday, and that really is not fair to teams to make them play on a Wednesday.
No, it's not. Terrible.
It's all about the money. They don't care about that.
No, you're right about that for sure. And look, I mean, we talked about this a little bit before the show. I mean, the schedule, they plug a bunch of things into a computer,
right.
You know, so it's a lot easier. But it's still very, very complicated for them to get it done. Very complicated. And they've got to coordinate with TV networks and stuff. It's not just like setting up your Little League schedule, you know.
No. I mean, look, I remember in college once sitting down with a spreadsheet and trying to do it myself just to see how hard it is.
You were that nerdy?
I am that nerdy. And I got it done. Now, I think I worked on it over a weekend. But, like, yeah, you can do it. But I'm not having to account for, well, you can't give any team more than two home games in a row. Like, that's one of those things they try to avoid. Or two road games in a row. There's all these little things that they're trying to do. Make sure everyone gets at least one Thursday game. Everyone gets at least one primetime game outside of that. You know, like, all those things that go into it are the tricky part. You know, just saying here's each week is not that hard, actually. But
I think there's a lot of tricky, to get it right.
Yeah.
Right.
They apparently make, like, 10 schedules or more every year and then pick the best one.
Yeah, they do. Just look, relax, okay? It's going to come out. What, are you in a hurry?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I do think certain people who are season ticket holders, like Dave, you know, they want to know when they're going to go places, but...
I get it. I'm not saying delayed forever, but if it's a week or two late, you know, so what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of anxious on, you know, who are going to play week one, if they're going to decide to go, like, Jaden Daniels against Caleb Williams if we play the Bears or something like that or whatever, but other than that, I'm waiting another week.
If that's week one, I will.
I got news for you out there. Washington has a tiny, tiny fan base.
Yeah.
They are not a popular team. They're never going to be in, like, a lead role on a week one. You guys saw this merchandise story? Tell this real fast.
Right. Yeah, we can cover that real fast.
Yeah.
So the merchandise story, and I have it open still. Who was the company that did it? I had it open. Finance Buzz, thank you. Finance Buzz did a survey of 1,100 NFL fans to see what their spending habits are at games. And the thing that I think every Washington fan gleaned onto right away was that Washington came in fourth to last in terms of merchandise spending. Average fan said they spent $80.87 at a game on merchandise, which I assume that's for a season. Who's spending that every game?
No, they're talking about every game.
Every game?
Yes.
That would be an insane thing.
That is what they're
talking
about.
Yeah, that would be insane. I'm assuming it's not like if you're a season ticket holder then, but that's...
It's an average. It's, you know.
Right. Oh, okay. So like you buy one jersey, it gets averaged in. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people are taking that to mean Washington fans, one, they hate the name. So that's probably part of it. Two, the team sucks. So that's probably part of it. I don't think you can point to one issue and say, well, it's because of this. I think it's a lot of little things that factor into it.
This is what happens when you ruin your fan base over the course of three decades.
Yeah.
Right.
The only other teams worse, Minnesota, Cleveland, and the Patriots, which I find interesting. Patriots have fallen apart, so I guess that's not a surprise. But the Vikings and Browns are, you know, successful teams right now. You would think they'd be doing better.
Yeah, but the Browns haven't been successful in a generation either, so.
Right, and their quarterback's a horrible, horrible human being.
Yes.
And
Deshaun Watson, we're talking about.
Yep.
By the way, if you want to know the basics on how you get people to buy stuff, get a good quarterback, and his jersey will be your top seller. So
there you go. That's it.
Unless you have a great punter.
Yeah. Yeah. I really should have worn my Tressway jersey for the show.
You have before done that.
I have before done that. I've worn it to games too. I have a Tressway jersey. I will continue to wear it even if he changes his number. Because he is that great of a punter.
So, look, nobody worry about this merchandise thing. It's utterly irrelevant. I mean, you should have expected it. If you're not expecting it, nobody's going to buy Washington's crappy merchandise, this Commander stuff, especially when the team sucks.
Now, the thing that only disappointed me about you fans is that you didn't even make the top 10 in alcohol sales, Washington fans. I'm very disappointed in all of you.
You could be better at being luscious.
Yes. Yes. You're like just average drunks since when?
Well, that's because they all drunk themselves sober. So now they're just at a point where it's like, well, what do we do next?
The reality is that they probably get so hammered in the parking lot that they're like, oh, I don't need to buy money in the stadium or buy beer in the stadium now.
For $12 a drink.
A flat beer.
I would contribute water money if they want to count that,
I think that would just go towards general concessions.
Probably so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but and Washington was not in the top 10 there either. So,
of course not.
Yeah. You know why? Also, no good food at the stadium. We need a Five Guys.
Well, supposedly all that is changing this year because when I had a conversation with my season tickets rep, he said there's going to be a lot of changes in terms of variety with that, especially for the club level section where I'm at, where the free food is at. It's going to be more than just the same old thing every single game. So last year they were stuck contractually because when they bought the team and by the time it got into the season, it was whatever the tiny tyrant had in place. So they just rolled with it. Sure. Now they have an opportunity to make adjustments. And
it was almost assuredly Airmark last year, and it's almost assuredly going to be Airmark again this year.
Sure. Right. But I mean, you could still get a variety in there. I mean, Airmark's not just down to like five selections and that's it.
No, they're not. Know? They make up all kinds of crappy restaurants.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't know how powerful Airmark is. There are professional restaurants that they are actually running.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And not like chain restaurants, like fancy ones.
Restaurants, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, I hope for your sake, Dave, that it is better food-wise and alcohol-wise and maybe merch-wise. I don't know.
I never drink beer at a game when I go there anyway. It's primarily water, and I might get a soda every once in a while, but I go in there, grab a water bottle, and sit down. I don't drink beer at games.
Well, you told me you would have like 10 or 11 shots every game, right?
That's usually on the drive down there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife's pouring the shots on the center console, and I just
That makes sense. You don't want to buy them. I mean, it costs a fortune. So load them up while you're driving down there. That makes sense.
Well, you know, you pay a toll, you take a shot. Them's the rules.
But see, the beauty of it is by the time it kicks in, I start feeling it, I'm already finding my parking spot. So then I drink all the water that I need during the game to help get myself to a state and condition where I can actually drive home. Works out beautifully. It really does.
Just tell the cop that, you know, I'm timing it. Yeah. Officer, Ossifer.
And whatever you do, do not fill a Pepsi bottle, a 2-liter Pepsi bottle, with red wine and drink that. That is not something I would ever advise anyone to do.
I'm fine, Ossifer.
Driving from, you know, Philadelphia area to the D.C. area.
How about purple drink?
Yes, yes. It looks a little off-colored. I don't know what's wrong with this Pepsi, sir. And it's very flat. All right, guys.
Not with that.
With that. I wasn't driving. I was in the back seat. All right, guys. That should wrap up the show. We will see you all next week.
All right, later.
Bye.